This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, it's that time of the week once again where we come to you with a little bit of Black Life. My name is Tumisho Masha, and of course, in the studio with me today, I have a young man that I've known for many years, almost 20 years, eh, Malcolm? Yeah, we're at school together. Mm-hmm. That's it.
My mic is off.
There you go. Well, his mic
Hello,
is not
my mic
off
is
anymore.
On now.
There you go. Your mic there is on. So how's things been, man?
Yeah, things have been crazy.
We were at school together like 20 years ago.
That
makes us really insane. Old.
Yeah. Hello, we're all geriatrics.
And actually, the other day was your birthday, wasn't it?
It was my birthday.
What
it was
happened?
A very interesting day. I woke up to the sound of my doorbell ringing.
Mm-hmm. That's normal, isn't it?
No, not really.
Oh, your doorbell
not on my
normally...
birthday. But I thought, cool, who's at the door? And I'd overslept because I had quite a wild night the night before.
Oh, wow.
And the doorbell was my girlfriend coming to see if I was okay and wish me happy birthday, which was really sweet.
Which is really nice. I mean, that sounds like something amazing is
Absolutely.
About to happen right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. The problem was that she walked in and I had just gotten out of bed and there was lingerie spread all over my bedroom.
You're messing around with lingerie now?
No. I stopped that 20 years ago.
Yeah, I've known that since high school.
I was in bed with a stripper.
Oh my goodness, Lord. Help me. Jesus.
When I put it off like that, it sounds like I went out the night before for a good birthday celebration and took someone home. That's not the truth.
Sounds reasonable.
Which sounds reasonable. I mean, it's a 38th birthday. Fucking, of course it's reasonable. But the problem was, she's not a stripper. She's a burlesque dancer. She's a retired stripper.
Which is not quite a stripper.
When you say
she's a stripper, it sounds kind of sneaky, but a burlesque.
She was a stripper, though. She was a stripper in Vegas. And she has Hunter S. Thompson's hat.
Well, I mean, that means she's pretty good at this
that
thing.
Means
I mean,
she's
done it on
good.
An international level.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But now I'm painting her in a bad light. She's not just a stripper. She's a fucking amazing girl.
Okay.
And my girlfriend walked in and she was still there.
Okay.
Which is now my ex-girlfriend.
So you didn't manage to explain that, to smooth that over.
And look, I mean, it's not fair. Like, I'm sitting here with some kind of male pride about being in bed
but
with
you're feeling very ashamed.
I'm feeling terribly ashamed.
Okay.
I do feel sorry.
Well, you got a boob in each hand.
I've got two boobs in each hand.
That should help
I
you
know.
They, deal with the next couple of weeks.
They feel great.
Being single.
Well, the next couple of weeks I am single because she's traveling at the moment. Uh-huh. She's gone to Hungary, which we're going to talk about travel tips later. We're also going to talk about why I'm sitting with boobs in my hand.
Okay, listen. This sounds like it worked out in the end because
it's worked out very well.
So are you guys going to be now serious? What's the lady's name, by the way?
No, I can't give you that.
Nickname.
Although, I mean, how many strippers
initials.
Out there have
exactly.
like Hunter S. Thompson's hat? I mean, it's pretty obvious now what I'm talking about.
Oh, really?
Hey?
I don't know any
No,
strippers.
You don't know, but she's going to know. She'll know I'm talking about her. My ex-girlfriend's going to know I'm talking about her, which is a problem because my ex-girlfriend keyed the side of my car and fucked it up good and proper. So, I need to really be considerate about which girls I start dating.
I thought I had problems. Thank you, Malcolm.
You're welcome.
You make me feel so much better about myself in general. I think I'm going to play this podcast to my wife so that she can realize that,
But you're such a good guy.
I'm an amazing guy.
She could have it a lot worse.
Yeah, she could. Guys from St. Albans. All right, but interesting things have happened over the past week, and some of them quite sad. I'm really pissed off about what happened with Cecil, the lion.
Why?
Or Cecil. Do we pronounce it Cecil or Cecil?
Cecil the lion.
Cecil's, I mean, as a name, generally, Cecil's going to get you in trouble. There was a Cecil John Rowe statue that was taken down, and now Cecil the lion was shot by this dentist from Pennsylvania or Minnesota, wherever it is.
I don't know, somewhere in the States.
Minnesota.
A friend of mine put it really well, that why aren't there more lions killing dentists? That's a good point.
That's a good point, but I mean, maybe not all dentists, just this one dentist.
Just that one dentist. The problem I have with it, though, is that there's more outrage and uproar, excuse the pun, about the fact that a lion was killed, and don't get me wrong, it was I hate canned lion hunting or illegal lion hunting or selling it as lion hunting. The problem is there's more international attention given to that than there is to Zimbabwe's elections. And there are more human rights atrocities going on in Zimbabwe than there are, animal rights problems.
But you don't think that we could have, now we're steering that conversation because of Cecil's death? Yeah, now, you're right. Suddenly, we're like, we're able to talk about how bad it is for human beings in Zimbabwe at the moment.
Absolutely.
Are they still having those problems? I thought that was over now. Everything was cool.
Everything was cool.
Well, they said that, like, people are eating, you know, it's not as bad as people are saying.
But it's still like, you know, it's the poorest economy on the African continent. It's like,
it's worse than Sudan?
It's worse than Sudan. I don't know. Okay,
look, I'm not very well informed about it.
But I just know that, like, you're right. We should be taking this opportunity to use the spotlight that is focused on Zimbabwe and say, like, these are some of the other issues that can be dealt with.
I agree. Addressed. But getting back to poor old Cecil. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's not very
May
cool.
he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. Cecil, we're with you all the way. Our fellow lion in the struggle. You know, you went down like a hero and you need a hero's goodbye. So from us at the Black Life team, we wish you Godspeed.
Absolutely. What, from one Leo to another?
From another Leo to another. From like three. Like, we're all awesome. Leos, yeah, you know.
Fantastic.
All right, now here's the other thing. The Malema trial. What do you know about that?
Not much.
I just know that he was like let off the hook.
Yeah. Is he let off the hook because they're saying that they want to reinstate
the charges? I don't know.
It feels like.
But why did they let him off the hook in the first place?
Yeah, exactly.
One of the accusers like desperately ill in hospital, right? They couldn't have just said, okay, well, we'll give him a month and we'll come back. I mean, this is tax evasion, for goodness sakes. This is supposed to be serious.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that how they got Al Capone in the end?
Exactly. They couldn't get him on crime.
No, but it kind of feels like it's all been set up again, like it was with Al Capone. It's like, you know, is it like a manhunt? Is it like a, let's try and take him out on any charges we can find? I don't know. I don't know enough about politics. I try not to listen to the news because it makes me upset.
I hear you. But on this one occasion, I don't know how it is for you, but it's like, if this was your classic Hollywood narrative, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have a good guy and a bad guy. Who's a good guy anymore? And who's a bad guy? I mean, at one point,
there are no good guys in politics.
Yeah, well, that's true. So they're all bad guys. I mean, all of them are making a serious mess. I would have thought that Malema was an obvious candidate of a bad guy. And sudden now, there's going to be vindication. SARS has finally got him on these charges because he's going around talking about economic freedom fighters. And I mean, let's be honest, he's never been an economic freedom fighter for anybody except Malema.
But that's irony, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Exactly. Tax evasion for an economic freedom fighter. You would expect that, like, he was for paying tax because that's like...
That would help the poor, exactly, right?
Right.
But no, he's not about paying anything except for his Johnny Walker Blue. And even then, I think he probably gets sponsored. And now we're thinking, okay, SARS is finally going to get him, because if there's anyone who's going to get you, it's SARS. I mean, forget about the police. You can murder, rape, pillage, do what you like. The police will do nothing.
But SARS.
Evade tax, and SARS will never forget. Mm-hmm. And then SARS just goes, nah, actually, you know what? Not this week. Since Pravin Gordhan's left, it's just become quite toothless. Anyway, speaking of police, a friend of mine was assaulted on Monday by the police. A lady.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
Lele Ledwaba was assaulted on Monday evening. She's a famous actress, by a JMPD police officer. And not a male police officer, by the way. A female police officer. This is supposed to be Women's Month that we're going into. And what happened was, she was in Kyalami. And she was crossing a stop sign. There was a car in front of her. And she obviously could see that there's police who set up a roadblock across the road. Mm-hmm. She stopped. She left, and as she was driving off, the police stopped her. And the lady was like, "You didn't stop. I'm gonna write you for a ticket." So Lele was like, "Fine, write a ticket, but I also need to see some identification that you're a police officer, because even though you're wearing some sort of uniform, you know, you guys could be making it." A scuffle breaks out, and this woman assaults Lele Ledwaba, and another police officer, another female police officer, is just looking and watching and doing nothing about it. The only thing that stopped it was the two other male police officers that were there got a little bit embarrassed that other motorists were watching this whole thing, and it just didn't seem right.
I love how you put it. They got embarrassed.
They were embarrassed that, oh gosh, these other motorists.
It's a cat fight that's broken out. I'm embarrassed.
So, we've got the picture. The picture of this female police officer will be coming out in the Sunday papers. I hope it was a good one. It was her best side, because she's going to be very famous now. And she's getting sued. But the thing is, it raises this thing. I mean, how many other people? I know of many people on Carte Blanche on Sunday, in fact, there was a whole story about police harassing, assaulting ordinary citizens, not even criminals.
But I mean, there was that guy who was dragged behind the police van, which is now going on. I mean,
the trial's happening. One of the police officers was acquitted, and rightly so. He had nothing to do with it. But the other eight are hoping that they'll be acquitted too, because they're saying, well, yes, we dragged him behind the police van. Yes, we smacked him around a little bit, but that was not why he died.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, let it be known that he chipped my tooth.
Yes.
So he had it coming, right? Yes, you know?
Like, he chipped my tooth, so I was going to drag him behind my police van for like 20 kilometers just to show him.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't do that to a police officer.
No. He chipped my tooth and then they did that. I didn't see any of it.
Oh,
that's what he's claiming.
That's what he's claiming?
Like, come now, guy. You had your tooth chipped.
Yeah, I mean, like,
by this guy, but you didn't see anything.
You didn't see anything?
So how do you know he chipped your tooth?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening on the radio as well this morning about how police are getting killed at a very high level, at a high rate, and it's not great. We don't want to hear stories about policemen getting killed, but we really need to get our whole thing in order when it comes to policemen and women.
Yeah, I mean, there were those passports that were stolen, and like by the car that was hijacked, and they were hijacked apparently by a guy who was in police uniform. That brings me like two questions. Like, how easy is it to get a police uniform these days?
It seems pretty easy, actually.
No, I'm not talking about the kind that my girlfriend would be wearing. I'm talking about like the legitimate
kind of your current girlfriend.
Yeah, my current girlfriend who takes them off as part of her ballet show. We're talking about like, how easy is it to get an official uniform, or is this an official cop who's like part of the hijacking? And then my second point is, whose passports were stolen? That's what I want to know.
All right. Well, my week has been filled with babies crying and not sleeping, and I'm really exhausted right now. You know, I've got a 3-week-old baby and she's colic all the time. So coming up after the break, we're going to talk to some people who are specialists when it comes to breastfeeding babies and anything else that you might need, because I'm not coping, man. I'm buying everything. I'm buying out Baby City. My wife is hardly getting any sleep, and her boobies are getting dried up. So don't go anywhere, because we're going to talk about babies.
Yay.
All right, welcome back to it. You're still on Black Life with me, Timisha Masha, and of course, I'm in the studio with Malcolm. Malcolm.
Hello.
You're back.
My mic. Thank you very much.
It's always your mic. What the hell, man?
Oh, come on, Timisha.
Come on,
Finger trouble, right?
All right. So anyway, as I said, you didn't even congratulate me, Malcolm.
I haven't got a gift from you, congratulations.
Buddy.
Yeah, have a nipple.
I've got one already. This will so come in handy. Yeah. Because I'm not getting any sort of like action at all.
I'm sorry, dude.
You know when you feel like you are an accessory?
An accessory.
Really?
I thought children were supposed to be the accessory.
No, children.
Is that only for celebrities where you go to like African countries and pick up an accessory that like matches?
I tried that, but they said that South African celebrities just don't have enough cash for that.
So
I'm planning.
So you had to have your own.
Yeah, I had to have my own. But when I make enough money, I'm gonna do the opposite.
I'm gonna be
an African celebrity who's gonna go to like first world countries and adopt their kids.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I think that would work. Anyway, I've got in the studio with me a couple of very interesting people from Medela. My wife recently had the baby, and you know,
well,
for the
obviously.
First, obviously, hey, I said that, I mentioned that like 5 times.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have the baby.
Well, yeah, thank God for that. That was tough, dude. It was something that I really do not recommend to any guy to try and do. And I think that, you know, the toughest thing about having the baby is you want to help. You want to be part of it. And you can be, of course, you can hold hands, you can be there, you can talk her through it.
But really...
That you're shows, the least
sorry,
qualified
sorry,
guy.
Sorry, just one thing.
Yeah.
Videotape. That shows how fucking old you and I are.
That we still use videotape. Because there's no such thing, actually.
Exactly.
What they call it now is actually, I think the right word is what do you call it?
I don't know. You Vine, I guess?
No, but what do you call when you record it on your iPhone?
That would be you videoing it.
You're videoing it?
Yeah, because there's no tape anymore.
Isn't it just better to say you're videotaping?
So you would say that you're vining it. Sorry, but I derailed what you were saying. Yes, I forgot what I was saying. You can participate. You can help as much as you can. You can help her breathe. You can help her with like giving birth to the child. But you feel hopeless.
And then after that, obviously you want the baby to start breastfeeding, but the baby couldn't breastfeed right away because there's that whole process of latching. Mm-hmm. You just think that it's going to be a natural and normal thing that the baby's born, baby's hungry now, put it on the breast. Baby will make a plan. It will work out. No, it doesn't work that way.
Okay.
So fortunately, we had a breast pump where even the breasts are new to this whole breastfeeding thing. They have to be like stimulated, kickstarted, if you will, you know?
And that's a no-go zone for the guy now because it's like...
I would have thought, you know, if I was able to say, let me help, because my jaw is strong and I, you know, but apparently it doesn't work that way. We had to have a problem. But in the studio with me, I've got Kerry Reich from Medela, as well as Roger Pitt and Jane Pitt as well. How are you guys doing?
Thanks.
Very well,
us.
Thank you.
Good, good. We're glad to have you because as a first-time dad, I was really confused. There was a lot of things. I'm still confused. There's a lot of things I actually don't know. And there's a lot of things that I need help with. So why is it important? And I found that when we were in the hospital, because we were at Park Lane. I'm going to ask you this, Kerry. We were at Park Lane Hospital. And like I was telling Malcolm, I thought it would be a simple thing. Baby's born, put on the breast, everything's going to work. But Park Lane had all these breast pumps there for just that very thing.
A lot of the time, the hospital-grade breast pumps are more for the moms that are in the neonatal ICU. So those babies are often too small or too weak to actually get onto the breast. But we find with early stimulation and preferably within that first hour after birth, that we can help moms get into a full milk supply with baby not doing the stimulation themselves. But ultimately with you guys and a natural delivery at full term and all of that.
Well, we wanted natural, but it didn't work out that way. It ended up being a cesarean delivery because the baby just was not going down. And in fact...
Hell no, I'm not coming out.
No, it was literally
a
like
scary
that.
Place out there.
With the cesarean, you know, you expect that they cut her open and there's the baby's head. It wasn't there. She actually started moving further up, so they had to literally push her down. And she came out very surprised. She was like, "What? WTF? I was having a good time in there. Leave me alone." And she was at full term. She was at 40 weeks. So there.
I had exactly the same with my first baby. 18 hours of labor. She wasn't coming down. Eventually found that she had quite a short cord. So after the cesarean, I made sure that I had backup all the way, so I actually had a lactation consultant that was there with me to assist right after the delivery. What was quite surprising for me, though, was I don't know what they gave me, because I think I had a bit of a panic attack on the table while they were doing the Caesar. And when I kind of came round and realized what was all going on, I was sitting in the ward with my boobs out, the lactation consultant trying to latch the baby, but there in front of me was my dad.
That's very awkward.
Where?
So it was a bit of a strange moment for me, but with that support right from the very, very beginning and getting baby supported with the lactation consultant and onto the breast in that first hour, even though I think I wasn't completely compos mentis through the process, it certainly helped me to be more successful with breastfeeding along the whole course of it. I was also lucky enough that lactation consultant with my first baby, once I got home, and this is what a lot of women experience, is when we're in the hospital, so natural birth, we tend to stay in about 3 days, a Caesar birth about 4 days. Once our milk comes in, if it's a natural birth, round about day three. If it's a Caesar birth, our milk only comes in round about day four. So what's actually happening in the hospital when we've got all that support, we've got the nurses, we've got the lactation consultants and everybody there to help us, we're not actually producing breast milk yet. So we only got those very, very, very small amounts of what we call colostrum. It's quite a thick, sticky, yellow-looking stuff.
I noticed that.
And it's your baby's ultimate first antibodies. It's got everything that to build up your baby's immune system and get it ready for life in the outside world. Mm. It's also got a laxative effect. So it gets them to start passing those first poos, which is called meconium. And I'm sure as a first-time dad, you were quite shocked when you saw what came out of your beautiful little girl.
It wasn't as beautiful. But I was still like, oh, look, it's our first poo. I just wanted to take a picture, but I couldn't post it on social media.
No, you just can't go there. That's a shit thing to do.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, the thing that we found was, obviously you want to give the baby the breast milk and the colostrum to start with. Why is that so important, Jane? As opposed to like your NANS and formula, as we call it.
Because colostrum's got everything that a human baby needs, and formula has tried to copy it, but they actually can't copy it.
They actually can't. Well, what do you do for people who literally they're just not able to produce milk? And how do the breast pumps help with that?
Physically, there's less than 2% of the female population that physically cannot breastfeed or produce breast milk.
Okay.
What we find tends to happen is it's unfortunately bad advice and bad information that moms get. So a lot of the time they are told in the hospitals in those early days, goodness me, you're not producing milk. We better give your baby a top-up feed to get things going. But ultimately, all our bodies are actually physically capable in those early days is maybe a teaspoonful of colostrum at a time. A lot of moms will be helped to hand express right in the very beginning if baby is, and especially after a caesar birth or something, or quite a long drawn out natural birth, the babies are tired, the moms are tired, and that's where sometimes the nurses can come and help. They'll hand express the mom, get those little bits of colostrum into a colostrum cup, onto a teaspoon, and give it to the baby that way. And once everybody's had a bit of time to rest and feeling a bit stronger, that we keep trying to get them onto the breast, keep trying.
Yeah, and well, with that sort of thing as well, how important is it to have that the support, the mechanical support, I suppose, from a pump? Because what I found with my wife is that once there was that action happening, her breast got into the groove of when baby arrives, this is actually what is supposed to happen.
What we're very fortunate with our pumps is that we've got Medela invented two-phase expression. And that is based on how a newborn baby itself actually sucks. So when you first put a baby to a breast, they start with a very light, soft, quick sucking action. And especially in those early days where mom is just producing colostrum and baby's just getting to know mom, they're discovering each other. Baby will tend to play with the nipple a lot more than actually latch and drink as such.
I see.
So that's the stimulation phase on the pumps will mimic that kind of very light, soft, quick sucking action. And then the expression phase would be more like a latch and a drink, a suck, swallow action.
Can I just contextualize here? We're talking about this because it's breast month, right?
Yes.
So that's why we're talking about this, not because, I mean, I just needed to contextualize that. And for myself, because
well,
I was sitting here going like, why are we talking? Like,
and I'm a new father.
Come in and talk about breast pumps.
I'm a new father. I need to know this stuff.
I can do that sort of thing. No problem. See, I'm not a new father. I have no intention of having a child.
But what if you mistakenly had a child without like even having planned one? What would you do then, Mark?
What would
you'd
I do then?
Calling me,
I would go back and listen to this podcast and figure out what I needed to do in terms of breast pumps. And I'd call you. I go like, hey, okay.
What do you do?
What do I do?
Like, listen.
Not only is August breastfeeding month, it's Women's Month.
It is.
But it's this week, from the 1st of August to the 7th of August, is actually World Breastfeeding Week. And the theme this year is Breastfeeding and Work, Let's Make It Work. Okay. And it's actually a global call to corporations, to moms, to individuals, to dads, to support breastfeeding moms, to also get in touch with companies, with employers, to make places available, to make time available to moms so they are actually able to breastfeed and continue breastfeeding when they come back to work. And here in South Africa, a lot of us full-time working moms do come back to the workplace at around about 4 months.
Yeah, which is extremely short compared to the world average, isn't it?
And the World Health Organization also recommends that moms breastfeed exclusively for the first 6 months of life. So that gives us 2 months where we actually need to be able to express our milk at work, to bring it home and be able to still give that to the baby for the nanny or the creche or whoever's looking after them during the day while moms are back at work. So it's a call to action for that.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's quite interesting because at the moment there's been a lot of awareness about breastfeeding in public. There's been like quite a feminine kind of a feminist call to say that it's fine. There's no problem with it. And I have no problem with it either, not from a perversion like
no, kind of course not.
Like I build myself looking like that, but it's not. Like I think it's really important for women to be able to do that because how else do you feed your child? And it gets frowned upon. I mean, I'm assuming that your opinion on this is that it's perfectly
It's amazing
normal.
To know where in the world, where in time did it become unnatural and unnormal for a mom to breastfeed her baby, which is what every other mammal on the planet does without having eyes raised at them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess maybe society has gone to a point where we started getting too sophisticated for our own good in that way, where it's like, oh, you're supposed to have a little room, and if there's no room available, wait till you get home. I mean, the baby doesn't have a timetable. I mean, it's not like, okay, it's about lunchtime now for the baby, so Mom, can we do this when we get home? Oh, okay, no problem. I'll wait another 30 minutes.
And if you're at Sandton City doing your shopping and you're feeling hungry, do you go and get your takeaway and go and sit in the ladies' bathroom or the men's bathroom and go sit on a toilet and eat it?
No. It's too pleasant. And the same people that are complaining about, that would complain about breastfeeding in public are the same people who are looking at your child and going like, can you not control your child? Look how it's screaming. It's like it was screaming because it's hungry. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, you can either have a screaming child or you can have a fed child. Like, you know.
What you tend to find is a lot of those people who complain about screaming children are the same people that frown upon breastfeeding.
Exactly.
So it's a catch-22.
Now, you were talking about like how they ideally say that it needs to be 6 months, the first 6 months of a baby's life, and it needs to be breastfed. How does that affect children like going forward in terms of oral fixation? If you breastfeed them for too short or you breastfeed them for too long? I mean, like Freud had a whole thing about that and blah, 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 but I don't want to get like psychoanalytic on it, but I'm just saying, like, how does it from a mental kind of point of view? I mean, I know from the physical side, there's a lot of benefits to doing that, but like, are there any mental kind of components to it?
Jane, I don't know if you've got a. For me, a lot of the studies and stuff that we read up on is it's got a lot more to do with jaw development, facial muscles. They're quite different. The muscles we use to breastfeed compared to bottle feeding.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of emotional support and things like that, so your bonding between mother and baby is obviously that much greater for a mom who gets to look down at her beautiful baby and know that she herself, her body, is able to, and our bodies are incredible. Besides the fact that we can grow a baby inside them, we can then take them out and feed them and provide absolutely everything that they need with our own bodies. It's an incredible relationship.
And for the child as well, like in your arms looking up at you, knowing that you're nurturing it, nourishing it, it's also, I mean, I imagine that's the bonding experience too.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us children of the 70s, a lot of us weren't breastfed. I think that was very fashionable in those days. Formula was taking off. It was the fancy thing to do. I don't believe that my mom ever loved any of us less because she didn't breastfeed us, but, you know, the immunological benefits and all of that, yes, we did lose out on that with formula feeding and not having. And you find that the formula-fed babies will tend to more illness. So also for a mom that's going back to work, more absenteeism for the mom because she's got to look after a baby that is sick more frequently versus a baby that's getting antibodies all the time.
Yeah. Look, I found that there's a lot of colic, or if you want to call it that, where the baby, even though we've burped her after a feed, changed her nappy, she's either wanting to eat all the time or she's just crying all the time or she's got a sore stomach. We've bought everything, colic ease, every sort
and
of
don't look you at don't, me.
I'm looking at you. What am I looking at you exactly? You don't know nothing about this.
I don't know.
But almost every other product that is out there that can help babies with colic, and it just seems to not be going away. Jane, I mean,
how are you actually feeding that baby?
It's on-demand feeding, I suppose.
Yes,
so when
but
the
what
baby
position are you using at
the
breast?
Kind of
across the
breast. The Madonna.
That's what
Madonna,
we would call the Madonna position.
Wow, this is fascinating.
I would suggest that you feed the baby as much as you can in an upright position.
Ah,
so you have the head here, and then the baby's bum is on your knee. Mm-hmm. So from the head to the bum, the baby is straight. So as the baby is drinking, it's drinking in an upright position.
How does that help?
That's amazing.
Because they don't collect wind.
Yes.
If you are feeding them in an upright position. The other way you can do it is if you latch them in the Madonna position, as you are accustomed to doing, and then you lean backwards, and then they lie on you with their head on the boob and their feet on the opposite hip.
Okay.
So then they are drinking uphill.
Uh-huh.
And that way they can control the milk. So you often find that a baby collects a lot of wind when the first letdown, we call it letdown, comes when the first milk rushes in. And then they can't control it. So they usually unlatch themselves because the milk's flowing too fast.
Yes.
It's like trying to drink from a fire hydrant.
Ah, okay. Well, we've got a caller, Bianca, who's just written in on WeChat, and she says, Bianca says, Rutarina. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Rutarina, that's what we got as well. Rutarina drops works for colic babies. It's also not just a flavor of the month kind of thing. It really works. You can get it from the pharmacy. We tried that. There's another product called InfoCol that is out there that is especially imported from the UK. You'll realize that you're going to just spend a lot of money. You know, in the first couple of weeks, you're just buying whatever you think will make the baby stop crying. Sometimes, you know.
To me, sure, what worked really nicely for us was a chiropractor.
I heard about that.
To a chiropractor.
Why did you need to go to a chiropractor, Roger?
Well, in the natural birthing process, the baby goes through the birth canal and pretty much gets straightened out by the mom's muscles and going through the pelvis. But we had the same problem as you did, where Michelle unfortunately couldn't have a natural birth. We wanted to go that way, but ended up with a caesar.
And speaking about that, actually, we have one of the highest rates of caesarean births in the world.
Yeah. Private sector.
In the private sector, even compared to more developed countries. Like in France, you have to have a really good reason as to why you want a caesarean section birth. Whereas here in South Africa, you can just go in and your gynecologist says, have a caesar. It's just, here's a date, and it's easier.
Come out through the sunroof.
So obviously we're going to have these problems. Yeah. And what happened with you guys?
So Hayden, our son, when we brought him home after, I think it was 3 or 4 days, can't remember exactly. But on about day 7, just could not stop him crying. He was just going ballistic. So my chiropractor had spoken or mentioned it to me before that he does a lot of work with babies. So we took him to the chiro. And it was fascinating. He was lying on the table and the chiro is manipulating him. And he just grabbed him by the jaw and pulled his head upwards and said, let's give him a little bit of traction. And he stopped crying instantly.
Oh, wow.
And went to sleep.
That's amazing.
I took both of my caesar babies also to chiropractor, and you almost watch them kind of go limp in their hands from this curled up tight little bundle, and they just relax.
So they basically just loosen up all the joints and make sure that everything's working properly. You can never really know whether it's going to help or not, but it's worth a try.
But in your experience, Roger, as a man, didn't you find that for the first couple of weeks you felt kind of spare? And what did you do to overcome that? What advice would you give to other men?
Yeah, look, I think you are absolutely spare. I mean, there's very little that you can do apart from support your wife and make sure that she has everything at her disposal to try and do this job that she's now got to do. Obviously, I've got access to all of the products and went shopping in our warehouse before we went to the hospital, so I had everything at hand. And maybe that's something that you can do. You know, Michelle, after Hayden was born, in those first few hours, had a couple of complications and the breastfeeding wasn't starting off. So I took our hospital-grade pump and attached it and expressed some colostrum and fed it to Hayden. You know, with all of the drugs and having gone through major surgery, Michelle wasn't able to think straight, let alone do anything. We also had a lactation consultant on hand, which was very helpful. But yeah, just be available. Learn to sterilize pump parts.
Okay. Well, here's the other thing, though. Before we go any further, I just want to say to all our listeners out there, we are giving away a free Harmony manual two-phase breast pump today. So write in on WeChat, or you can call us. And also you can, you know, reach us on Facebook or on Twitter. But if you want to call in, it's 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. And communicate with us, and you might stand the chance of winning Medela Harmony manual two-phase breast pump. Am I saying that right? Because I call it Medela, but then you call it Medela.
I say Medela. Even
you say
the
potato.
Swiss
I say potato.
Medela.
Okay.
So it's pronounced everywhere. But funnily enough, our Swiss consultant that comes out to visit us here in South Africa, he quite likes the way South Africans say it.
Okay. How do I? What with Medela?
Medela.
Okay. Because this is like Kim Kardashian's breast pump, isn't it?
Oh yes, it is. You've got the same one as Kim.
All right. Well, me and my wife are on that level as Kim and Kanye, as you know,
nice.
Right, Malcolm?
Nice.
So you can get yourself a Harmony manual two-phase breast pump. bump right here today, only on Black Life.
And I have to say, we've got these really cool stress balls that they gave us as well.
We're not giving these away.
No,
we're
not. I'm not holding on to this. Say, like, I'll give one away. No, like, this is
I'm not giving anything like this
my
away.
My girlfriend's in fucking Hungary. I need to hold on to this.
You need it as long as you can. You should, like, drill a hole in it, and then, you know, maybe you can put, I don't know what your favorite drink is. And you can fill it with that.
No, it's got a funny pink gel that comes out of it. I don't think you want to try and drink that.
But it does feel kind of...
Like, it feels good.
Yeah, like it feels like a silicone breast.
Is it? Quite nice. I've never felt the silicone breast.
No, I've been feeling it all week. No.
Okay, well, we've got a caller. Or rather, someone who's contacting us via WeChat. I'm just trying to open that. And it's Aiden de Villiers. And he says, are you able to send the prize to the UK? Aiden, I don't think so.
But you could probably pick one up at a pharmacy in the UK.
Boots.
Yeah, yeah.
There's boots, about 1,100 boots across the UK.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Aiden. Sorry, buddy. But this is only open to our listeners who are out here just because of trying to get it back into the UK from South Africa. We might run into customs problems and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, but it's also just easier for you to go to Boots.
It's probably easier.
Put your boots on. They're made
with
for walking.
Exchange rate. Okay.
I just wanted to add quickly to Misha, when we had the lactation consultant come in and see us the second time with my little son 3 years ago at the hospital, one of the best things that she did was empower my husband to feel like he could help with breastfeeding.
Now, that's what we want to talk about. How did that? What was exactly the advice that this lactation specialist gave to your husband for that?
First and foremost, she showed him that the position, my son had a tongue tie, so we did battle to get him to latch in the beginning. Even though I work for Medela and I've been helping moms with latching and stuff, I couldn't latch him. When she came in, she diagnosed that he had the tongue tie and then showed us a special way that we had to get him on. She showed my husband how to actually put the pillows onto my lap to get my body into the correct position, and he was the one who put baby to the breast. What we often find is that the dads are a little bit more forceful than us moms. We're very, very gentle and tensitive and, oh, baby, oh, sweetie pie. We you know, we're dads. Just due to your physical size and stuff,
I find that I'm like that as well. That's probably why I get the baby to burp so easy. It's like, come on,
dads tend to get the burps out way easier than us moms do. Because of that, we kind of foof about a little bit and tap too light, where you guys kind of give a much firmer grip, a much firmer tap. But the other thing that she showed him, so besides making sure I was comfortable, that I had something to drink and all of those bits, was, when you look at your baby and your wife is breastfeeding, what was your natural instinct?
To rub baby's head.
Exactly. Baby's suck receptors, when they are newborn, are all on the top of their head. So that natural thing that you had to do to touch your baby's head actually got them to start going...
But then they were like, oh, stop touching the baby's head. You're disturbing her while she's trying to eat.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad advice out there.
There you go.
Well, thank you for like putting a lot of that bad advice to rest. I mean, like, I find this absolutely fascinating. I have no intention of ever having a child. Like,
but if you were to.
But if I were you to, like, I go already. Back to this podcast and go, like, there's so much to learn. I had no idea it was this complex, like, but in terms of breastfeeding.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing.
And in fact, when people, you know, want to find out more information that maybe they've curiosity has been piqued and they want to know where they can get hold of you guys, you do actually have a place where people can come to, right?
We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we've got our website, we also have a little lactation consultancy at our offices.
And where's that?
111 Oxford Road. It's on the corner of Griswold Road and Saxonwold, Johannesburg.
Okay.
Between
Killarney and Rosebank.
Exactly.
Pretty much
halfway between the two.
And you need to make an appointment.
Okay.
If you want to actually have Jane or Anne physically see you. And Jane does Jane is a qualified IBCLC or an international bird certified lactation consultant. So she can weigh your baby, give proper breastfeeding advice and assistance as well.
Awesome. And on Facebook and Twitter, where can we find you guys?
Facebook, we are Medela South Africa.
Okay.
All in normal words, but with capital letters to start.
Okay.
And Twitter, we're at Medela_SA. Medela with a capital M as well.
That's Medela.
That's correct. It. And our website is www.breastpumps.co.za.
All right. Well, thank you very much, guys. We're going to continue with the rest of the show. But first, we're just going to go for... shall we just do something short for a while? And let's see, talk about this. No, maybe not that. I was going to put on a Castle Light commercial, like just in case you're feeling particularly thirsty, you know, after all of that. But no, we're not going to do that. We're going to come back with something else.
Well, some women do believe that if you have a beer, it helps your milk supply.
Oh, really?
I'm going to mention that to my wife this very evening.
Milk stout being preferable.
Beer, not if you have a beer.
Oh, if she has a beer, not me having a beer.
No.
Okay, well, if we both have a beer together. Yeah. Exactly. All right, thanks so much for coming into the studio, guys.
Thank you.
And remember, that you can find them on Facebook, on Twitter, and at www.medela.co.za.
No, breast pumps.
Breast pumps.
Breast pumps. Breastpumps.co.za. Yeah, I'm glad you were listening. Okay, we'll be right back after this. Yeah, man. So we're back, and that was a really interesting topic.
Yeah, I learned
for
a lot.
Me, I mean, I needed that. I learned a lot.
Not that I need to know any of it. But I mean, I think it's always good to know. You never know.
What if you babysit someone else's baby?
Well, I won't be breastfeeding somebody's baby that I'm babysitting.
But you might be feeding them with a bottle and doing it in the Madonna position.
Now you know, Malcolm, that it's the wrong way.
It needs to be upright, right?
I know.
And then how to burp. Okay, cool.
Okay, got it. All
right. But speaking of which, you're not going to have babies. You got a new girlfriend.
I got a new girlfriend.
Has she gone back to Vegas?
She's not gone back to Vegas. She's gone to Europe to visit her dad.
So are you gonna follow her to Europe?
No, not this time. But it was interesting because she was running late. I had to get her to the airport yesterday, and she hadn't packed yet. So we had to try and figure out like how to pack for her overseas trip and make sure that she had everything. She keeps rubbing in the fact that, like, you know, it's 24 with a maximum of 30, and at this point it's like, okay, so you're gonna need hand luggage with a couple of like swimming suits, and that's it, like bathing suits.
Yes.
And you're done.
So which part of Europe was she going to, though?
Hungary.
Their summer is real. It's like it's either summer or it's winter. There's no like the British summer where it's summer but it's kind of winter at the same time.
Yeah, and it rains all the time.
Yes.
But the thing is, that's an important point. If you're traveling, don't try and predict the weather.
Exactly. Look at the weather. Figure out
what the weather's doing.
But it's also very important if you're traveling to pack just enough of everything. You have to have outfits for just in case it rains, a hot day, and if it's particularly cold. And then from there, the majority, I guess, of what you're wearing is going to be based on what the weather is like, I suppose.
Well, it all depends on what kind of traveler you are. I mean, like, you know, there's a school of thought of, like, make sure that you're covered for all kind of weather conditions. There's also a school of thought that's, like, leave enough space in your luggage so you can go and buy whatever, like, wardrobe you need when you're there.
I really am not cool about going somewhere and then buying stuff while I'm there. I like shopping like anybody else, I suppose, but I don't think one needs to go on holiday to go shop.
No, sure, but the opportunity always presents itself. You're going to end up going like, oh, I want to buy some wine, or I want to buy some like some cigarettes.
Of course, whatever the case, but not for clothes.
No, but there are things that you can get there that you can't get here. Like, for instance, if you're going during winter and you want to get like a really good coat,
that's true.
We don't have really good coats here because we don't really have to worry about winter. There's like three days of cold weather.
It's already summerish.
Really. It's summer, exactly.
But here are some other tips. I mean, it says here, don't forget the first aid kit. Really?
Like what? A couple of plasters and like some hangovers.
You can't even take any hard drugs these days.
You can't.
Overseas.
You can't. And what? I'm going to pack like, you know, every event. Pack just in every case eventuality.
I
burn.
Just in case I get a snake bite.
No, but
just in case
sunburn.
I get a really bad headache.
Sunburn, for sure. Depending on where you're going.
But besides that, really.
You don't need much more. Name tags are there to help. Yes, they are.
Yes.
They are. Because everybody's luggage kind of looks the same unless you go and buy something that really sticks out. I mean, I went and bought like a gold travel case because it's the only gold travel case that'll come around this. So I don't have to stand around looking at like name tags and stuff. I know that when it comes out, that's mine.
That's
I can
yours.
Grab it
and other
away.
People know obviously not to take it because they know that it's not just your standard black suitcase.
But if you know that's something that's a valuable point. Make sure that it's easily identifiable. Your luggage.
And also make sure that you don't overpack because a lot of people overpack on their way. I mean, we did speak about a bit of shopping. Chances are you are going to do some shopping. And when you come back, the surprise is always how expensive it is when you come back from an overseas trip.
Yeah, absolutely. It says you skip the shoes. Okay.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to
say—that's a fair point, though.
Don't take too many shoes.
Yeah, don't take too many. Like, take three, maybe. You know,
three.
So take.
I mean,
take
you need a formal pair.
Yeah.
You need a pair of sneakers.
Yeah.
And maybe a
pair of sandals for the beach, depending on where you're going. Obviously, I mean, otherwise you might need a pair of boots for the
Russian winter.
Yeah, exactly.
But then it's better to get the boots in Russia.
Mm. Okay. No, he has an interesting point. Hand luggage is very important. There's a reason why you do hand luggage, and that's because
Tell me about that, because a lot of the times I get that really mixed up.
Okay, the things that you don't need immediately that you can put in your suitcase. But things like medication, if you're taking like psychiatric medication, put that in your hand. Like,
especially if you're taking psychiatric medication.
Absolutely, because you don't want to lose your shit on the plane. Yeah, they arrest you for that. No, thing. Trust me, it's not fun.
They put you away.
It's not fun.
And it's not like you can smoke a joint.
No,
calm down.
No.
not now.
And you want to put like your passport, your money. Make sure you've got some currency.
Make sure you've got some cash.
You're arriving. Yeah. I mean, I arrived in Lagos with like...
hundreds
arrived, no, with
of
nothing,
dollars.
With nothing.
Are you crazy? You're going to Lagos. You need money to get off the plane.
Like, I was like, okay, it's fine. I'll use my card. And the guy I was traveling with was like, no, dude, how are you going to get your luggage? I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, no, guy, this is Lagos.
This is Lagos,
like, you
right?
have to pay for everything.
Yes. We can get you a luggage, but it's going to cost you $100. Okay.
So make sure you've got some currency. Make sure you've got your passport and some kind of like identification in case you lose your passport.
Exactly. Exactly. And the most important thing as well is the adapters. Don't get to the country and then try and look for an adapter where you can charge your iPhone with, because it's too late.
Yeah, and it's not the kind of thing. I mean, like, everybody walks around going like, have you got an iPhone charger for me? I need an iPhone charger. It's like going into like hyperventilation and shock and stuff like that. Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. I see, they say categorize your clothes, but like, Why?
Like, when you're packing, put all your underwear on one side, put your socks underneath, like, you know, kind of...
Doesn't that come naturally to most people?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, because, like, some people don't think, like, oh, wait, hang on, I've got three pairs of shoes, because we've told you to take three pairs of shoes. Nobody
put
thinks, like,
the same place.
Oh, wait, hang on a second, put the shoes at the bottom, and then put your underwear inside the shoes. Put your socks inside the shoes.
Yeah,
come to some space.
Of course,
put your, like, roll up your jeans and put them on the right-hand side of your case, because then, like, you know, when you get there, it's easy to unzip, because you unzip from the right inside, grab a pair of jeans, put them on, because you've got like the fresh underwear in your shoes, and you're done. You don't have to dig through your case to try and find where your clothes are.
This is make very your helpful life advice, actually, because I've always tried to pack extra neat. What I do is pants go on one side, from jeans at the bottom because they're the heaviest, up to like slacks and that sort of thing, and then shirts always go
slacks.
On top.
Slacks? Who wears slacks?
What
man?
Do you call formal pants?
It's our pant guy.
You know what?
Slacks.
I like that old school way of calling things what they are for a reason. You knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, I did. Slacks. I was imagining you wearing a pair of women's like bell bottom pants. Slacks.
You know what slacks are, man? Don't mess with me, man. And they're not women's bell bottom pants. Even men can wear slacks. Okay, moving on. Damn it.
It
says pack a mini wardrobe in your hand luggage. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Because
as in mini, like, pack a nice jacket for the plane.
No, not only that. I've had this before where I've arrived in Mozambique, for instance, and my luggage arrived 3 days later. Ooh, so
that happened to me in LA.
Pack something that you can have in your hand luggage that you can just like go, okay, clean underwear, clean t-shirt, like, you know, just make
a toothbrush.
A toothbrush.
That
always
helps.
Especially on like an 11-hour flight.
Yeah, exactly. You need all that stuff.
They come with like little toothbrushes sometimes, but
they
like,
do.
They do.
But those things don't really work. You want yours.
No.
And the other thing that I find that really works as well is when I said a nice jacket, I mean, just in case it gets cold. Or
which it does
gets
on the
hot.
Plane. It gets cold it on the gets, plane. Like, let's be honest.
In the middle of the
really
night,
cold
it gets really cold.
Now, it's interesting because this one says strip at airport for the heading. I don't want to strip. I'm not telling you to strip at the airport. What we're saying is get prepared for the fact that you may need to take your shoes, your belt, your jacket. That's
especially
what
when traveling to the UK and to the US.
United States.
If you're going to the United States, make sure that the shoes that you're wearing to the airport are lace free, because you're going to take them off. Try wear pants that don't need a belt, so your favorite pair of jeans that actually fits nicely, because you're going to probably take those off as well.
And be aware of that. Be conscious of the fact that you're going to get to the checkpoint and they're going to ask you to take that stuff off. Don't be the guy who gets there and goes, oh, I must take my shoes off now. And then you're wearing like, I don't know, 24 up ducks.
Exactly.
And you've got to like sit there for half an hour. And everybody behind you is going, this guy, seriously.
Yeah. And there's long queues, especially when you're traveling in the States at airports. There's always that long queue to get through security checkpoints, because they're making you take off everything, your hats, your shoes. In fact, if you can avoid it, don't wear a hat at an airport in the States, because you're going to have to take it off anyway.
Yeah, and don't carry any sharp objects. Don't carry any flammable objects.
Try and carry as little metallic objects on your person as possible, because you're going to go in and out of that X-ray machine that's going to check, because you're going to be making a lot of noise. So carry as little coins in your pockets as possible. Make sure that your belt buckle is not heavy and it's not too metallic. If you can, take your watch off and put it in your hand luggage before you get there. And of course, I mean, things like electronics, laptops and those sort of things are obviously going to be searched. But it is important to carry a laptop if you want your own entertainment on board when you're traveling.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always a good thing. Now, the thing is, I'm wondering why we're telling guys how to travel. We'll tell you next week.
There's
an important reason why we're telling you this.
There's
like an important reason. You want to get ready to understand.
Because we
like,
might be going away.
Yeah, you need to grab a bag and leave. Like, you know, you may be lucky enough to do that.
You might be like Malema and you haven't paid the taxes.
And you have to grab a bag and leave.
You want to know.
In which case, though, it's a grab a bag full of cash and
yes,
run.
Because that's all you need. If you've got a bag full of cash, you need nothing else. Although, you're not really allowed to travel with a bag full of cash.
No, you're not.
Y.T. Bosson got caught at the airport with $7 million worth of cash in his bag.
That's just dumb. Like,
but he doesn't like to use his card.
Yeah, but guy,
in London, he's like, look, I prefer to pay cash at Harrods. And I'm feeling Y.T. I'm like, you know what? He's got a point. Like, sometimes the card is declined and you know you got money in there, but because you didn't tell the bank, and you know, I mean, me and Y.T., when we travel, it's not like we're paying like £100 here, it's like hundreds of thousands of pounds when we shop.
American Express.
Oh, okay. The black card.
The black card.
Oh, okay. I'm sure he's got one of those.
I'm sure he does. So then why is he carrying cash around with
him? To pay the strippers.
Take a leaf out of my book. You don't need to pay strippers.
You do. It's very good. It's very good to do that.
Stripper.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Apps that will run your world smoother. I mean, we always talk about gadgets and things like that. What are the latest apps that you've seen around that are really
helpful? That's really cool is called World Lens, which does, it's like Google Translate, but through
I've heard about that
photography.
One. Like, especially in places like China, right, where everything is written in Chinese. It's not
They haven't gotten
English.
That far yet. They've kind of done Spanish at this point, but absolutely. I mean, like, I'm sure it's only
so
a couple
So it's good
of
for South
away.
America and Spain.
And Spain, yes, Spanish. Like,
yeah, but obviously Spain, obviously.
Yeah, but your immediate thing is like, it's good for South America. I'm like, no, it's good for the Spanish. It's good for like Spain. It's good for like...
Well, South America is where Spanish is predominantly spoken, even more
probably,
than Spain.
Exactly. Okay. Fair point.
So World Lens is a good one.
Yeah.
And then obviously, it's time for us to get out of here. There's Yelp.
Yelp, we gotta go. Yelp, bye.
Yelp, we gotta go. It helps you find bars and places. And with that... We've got to say goodbye.
Because we're going to go find some bars and places.
Exactly. From us at Black Life, it's been absolutely amazing. As always, thanks for coming in, Malcolm. I hope that
thanks
you can come in again.
Me. Yeah, I will.
Please, feel free.
Absolutely.
All right, cool. Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.